So as we said, over the last 2 weeks, we've started exploring promises that are made and promises that are broken through the stories of Adam and Eve in the garden and Abraham and Sarah's covenant with God. Sometimes promises are broken and harm is done. But even through the harm, God works for good. Today's scripture brings us to the end of the beginning through the rest of the book of Genesis. God has kept the promise to Abraham, and this part of the story, as you've heard, is about those descendants that were promised to him, Abraham's great-grandsons, the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. In today's text, Jacob, who is now called Israel, has followed in the footsteps of his own parents' favoritism. Like them, he has a favorite child, Joseph, the oldest son of his favorite wife. The combination of his overt favoritism and Joseph's immature ability to keep the peace with his brother, inability to keep the peace with his brothers, doesn't bode very well for family relationships. In fact, things get so bad, as you heard, that Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery and allow their father to think that he's dead. A lot happens in the chapters between, in the readings between our chapter 37 reading and our chapter 50 reading. Joseph arrives in Egypt, and despite a false accusation and 2 years in prison, God continues to bless Joseph with success and respect. After he correctly interprets Pharaoh's dream of a coming famine, Joseph becomes the second most powerful official in all of Egypt and helps prepare the country for this 7-year-long natural disaster. During this famine, Joseph's brothers and then his whole family, all of Abraham's descendants, come to Egypt for food. Joseph welcomes them and gives them a place to live and food to eat. Jacob dies in Egypt and as an old man after blessing his 12 sons. But now the brothers, remembering how they treated Joseph and worrying that he had been kind only for the sake of their father, fear what will come next. So the brothers approach Joseph and tell them, whether it was true or not, the text doesn't really tell us that it was his father's wish that Joseph forgive them. Joseph had done this long ago. Instead of focusing on what his brothers had done, Joseph was focused on what God was doing and the ways that God had kept the promise to always be with him. He says to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good, or intended for good." The Hebrew word that is used here is literally translated weave. Joseph was saying to his brothers, "I know that you were trying to weave a thread of pain into my life, but God took that thread and wove it into my life and made something beautiful with it. God used it for good." It's been a really long time since I've done any kind of embroidery or needlework, but when I was younger, I enjoyed that art form. I was never very good at it, but I enjoyed it. It was frustrating sometimes though, because it seemed like no matter how careful I was, I would get my thread twisted, knotted. I would look proudly at what I had done, only to flip it over and see what a mess I had made. If all I could have seen was the back of that needlework, I would have tossed the projects as total disasters every time. Joseph's brothers were staring at the back of the tapestry. But Joseph was looking at the beautiful thing that God had woven. It can be really easy for us right now in 2020 to do what the brothers did. this year, this past 6 months, have not gone the way that any of us hoped or could even have imagined. But there still is hope. Even as the pandemic continues, as our church remains in transition, as our country becomes more divided, God is not done with this work. There is hope even in the dark, love even in the fear, and faithfulness in the midst of a world of broken promises. We have a choice to make. We can focus on what people and circumstances have done to us and what we have done to them. We can focus on the pain. But that's like focusing on the back of the tapestry. And it usually leaves us bitter and disillusioned. Or we can do what Joseph did. We can focus not on what others have done, but on what God is doing. We can stay open to the ways that God takes our pain and weaves it into our lives to make something beautiful. Now hear me clearly, that doesn't mean that God caused Jacob's or our challenges. Instead, it's an invitation to dare to believe that no matter how dark the thread, God can weave it into something beautiful in our lives. I'm sure that there were moments in Joseph's life when he struggled to believe this, when he was in that pit, or when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. But in the end, he focused on what God was doing. Even when we're not in an unusual year like this one has been, this time of year can be a melancholy time for a lot of people. As the world moves to the stillness of winter, as there is less sunlight, as things begin to die. Parker Palmer describes autumn in a way that I think speaks to the lessons that Joseph has for us. This is what he says. Autumn is a season of great beauty, but it is also a season of decline. The days grow shorter, the light is suffused, and summer's abundance decays towards winter's death. In my own experience of autumn, I am rarely aware that seeds are being planted. But as I explore autumn's paradox of dying and seeding, I feel the power of that metaphor. In the autumnal events of my own experience, I'm easily fixated on surface appearances, on the decline of meaning, the decay of relationships, the death of a work. And yet, if I look more deeply, I may see the myriad possibilities being planted to bear fruit in some season yet to come. In retrospect, I can see in my own life what I could not see at that time, how the job I lost helped me find work I needed to do, how the road closed sign turned me toward terrain I needed to travel, how losses that felt irredeemable forced me to discern meanings I needed to know. On the surface, it seemed that life was lessening, but silently and lavishly, the seeds of new life were always being sown. God can turn evil plans, bad circumstances, toward good outcomes if we only can learn to trust divine promises. God is always working toward the good, even when what we do is hateful, wrong, evil. God doesn't cause us to sin. Neither does God leave us alone to bear the results of that sin. Even what seems a disaster, a terrible experience of suffering can be redeemed by a loving God and changed into something good. Joseph's willingness to forgive his brothers allows him to see the ways in which God has continued to be with him and through him with all of God's people. And God didn't stop working at that point either. As we'll see next week when we continue the story of the Hebrew people in Exodus. And as we see throughout history, God is at work, bringing about good from all things, especially in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And God continues to work through and for us today, too. May we all recognize that our story only finds its meaning in God. And may we remember that knowing the ending isn't necessary for the here and now to be beautiful. Amen.